Hey everyone, I cannot believe this is our last episode until season two. I can't believe it literally flew by. It's been a really fun ride getting to know all of my guests and some of you that have messaged in. Oh my God, and the stories that you've submitted in. Thank you for sharing. I'm just grateful you guys all stuck around for these episodes, and I'm really excited about today's episode as we're going to talk about dating as a single parent in Portland and what ethical non-monogamy looks like, poly relationships. We're going to be with my good friend Essence, so let's just jump right into it. Okay, yay. You're on the show. Hi. Oh my God. Okay, so this is exciting for me. It's just going to be like our normal ranting conversations. So for those who don't know you, who are you?
I'm Essence. I am a horticultural designer and I guess an artist.
You are an artist.
Yeah.
And dancer.
And dancer and not occasional. I am an activist when it's like calls for it, you know, yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah. And a mom.
And a mom.
Yeah.
Foremost. Actually, I've been a mom my whole life. That's what I say.
Yeah.
I had my first at 20.
Oh, I think I had just turned 22, mm-hmm. I think. Something like that. So it feels like I grew up with Ezra, so yeah. I don't feel like I was an adult quite yet. No. You have two boys.
Two boys, yeah.
The sweetest little baby humans. I love it. Okay, so since I've known you, we both have gone through lots of dating experiences in Portland. Mm-hmm. Overall, well, I guess actually, how did you come to be in Portland?
My sister had been here about 10 years before. Yeah. And so I'd been coming back and forth. I once lived here for like 3 months during a family emergency. I actually went on a couple of weird dates then. My sister had moved back when we were both in California. And so I just was up here like every month for a year. And I was like, okay,
Okay. And so do you feel like you majority of the time meet people through the apps?
I have a pretty social life, so yeah. Both.
Yeah.
Obviously, these days, it's kind of challenging to meet people in real life.
You can only see half their faces anyway. You're like, can you pull it down really quickly so your mask so I can see what you look like?
And then it can be tricky, right, in community to navigate dating people and if things don't work out when you, like, meet people through friends.
Oh,
and, like,
God.
The way that my life intertwines with work and all that stuff, sometimes it seems a little, you know, you're like,
Yeah, especially I feel like so actually, how do you identify as far as pronouns, and do you go by queer, bisexual, straight? No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
I mean, I'm just like not a straight. I'm like a bohemian. Like, I'm not straight, you know? Like, I'm bohemian. My pronouns are she, they, and my sexuality is like pretty fluid. I'd probably say like pansexual. I'm a pantheist. It all kind of ties in. Mm-hmm. And what was the other question? Sorry.
No. Yeah. It was just how you identify.
Yeah.
Okay, I always try and ask at the beginning, but I totally slipped. Navigating relationships.
Oh, queer. Community. Oh, yeah. That was the other thing. I just feel like I have a very like pretty like heteronormative cis passing like life. So like, while I identify, I don't have like a struggle around being queer, but like I am queer in my person. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense.
So I think I'm more of a queer ally as far as like the struggle goes.
Right.
But I am interpersonally queer.
So you date basically whoever you feel a connection with.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I go by queer mainly over bisexual just because I feel like bisexual kind of, is trans exclusionary in a sense? Because it feels like bisexual is like cis men, cis women.
Exactly.
Versus queer, just kind of like, I just am floating around. Mm-hmm. I'm here for whoever I connect with. Okay, so your dating experience since you've been here, what's it been like? Some trage?
Yeah, it's been worse than living in rural Northern California.
Really?
Well, yeah, as far as like, sort of my whole thing is that relationships don't have to be long to be successful,
right?
You know, or fulfilling necessarily, but like sort of like the depth at which they I don't really know how to say it. Like, they just haven't been that, like, deep.
Yeah.
And then, like, people, I feel like the friendship maintenance, which I was like, if I'm going to invest in someone, I want it to stay. I want them to stay my friend, you know? That doesn't always.
No. I feel like the lack of depth has been one of the hardest for me being here, because I don't think it has to end up in, like, some long-ass partnership either. But I feel like, you know, just going with the flow and then having, you can be, like, super invested for 6 months, 2 months, it could be 2 weeks, and I think that's beautiful, but I feel like it's been hard to find others that are comfortable or open with themselves enough to just be, like, all in for those 2 weeks versus, like, and explore each other, like, what your mind look like. I feel like, so I agree with that.
Yeah, and it feels like people are, like, scared. I don't know, but I think I've been dating, like, two... like, kind of cis white male-ish vibes. And also, I have just been on quite a few, like, internet dates where I'm like, oh, actually, I just really don't...
I don't want to be here.
Not vibing, So it hasn't. But...
And you identify as Indigenous.
I do. I identify as, like, Afro-Indigenous.
So dating in a predominantly white space, how has that been?
I have grown up, besides living in Hawaii for a very long time, just in such white spaces that it's kind of like, I have a problem with it, like, in theory, but I'm unfortunately quite comfortable, you know? Yeah. I'm cultured, like, I know how to move in the culture, unfortunately. Like, you know, and I don't know. I'm mixed, you know, too, so my mom's, like, pretty white presenting, and grew up in Eugene, Oregon, just, like, know how to hang with white boys. Like,
oh, God.
I know.
Not Eugene.
I know.
No, I think it's good, though, that I feel like for a lot of people that I met that are transplants here or that are used to only black spaces, it's, like, a big culture shock. Whereas, like, I mean, I grew up in, like, mainly all white spaces. And I felt really comfortable navigating those until it was, like, 2020, where I felt really uncomfortable when it was, like, this, like... Where the people that you thought, like, of course, like, if this was happening to our white friends and family, oh, my God, we would be, like, losing it. But seeing kind of just the passivity between, like, what we thought were our white allies, that was challenging. You don't want to ask people being like, do you support Black Lives Matter?
Honestly,
that shouldn't be something that even needs to come up.
I had a really surprising, I think my friends are pretty diverse, and I had a really surprising experience of, like, seeing people in the streets. Like, I was like, oh, like, all these people are in my life and, like, work and, like, all these ways. I was like, oh, you're here, like, at a protest. So that was really nice. But, you know, you end up carrying a lot of, like, even the most well-meaning and, like, in relationships, you end up carrying a lot of burden on, like, education. And but being mixed, I, like, sort of feel that I have a little more obligation to that.
Well, in Portland, I'm sure you've seen a lot of, like, performative activism.
I mean, yeah, there's, like, I was not even going to.
We're not going to touch on it. It's just too much to unpack in that sense.
That's for another podcast.
That's another 3 hour long episode.
Because, you know, you don't want to get me started.
No. Okay. So, well, something that, I mean, a lot of people that I've known that have moved here, they're like, I've never seen so many people that are not into monogamy or just how people are open or ethical non-monogamy, as people bring up, and they're like,
I see a lot of profiles like, no, and you're like, okay, you're like,
oh, wow, okay. I've never known me personally going anywhere where monogamy wasn't, like, what everyone assumed. And then I think you were the first person, I mean, we know people within the friendship circle that are polyamorous, but I never really understood ethical non-monogamy until you told me about it. And then I feel like that's kind of just how I move, except the most recent relationship that I was in. So people don't know, what does ethical non-monogamy look like for you?
For me, it's a bit like, Well, someone, I learned the term recently, like, relationship anarchy.
Yeah.
And then I brought it to a friend and they're like, oh, every relationship anarchist I've ever dated is just, like, a self-serving narcissist using that as, like. And I was like, ooh. And then, like, that kind of was true about the person that I had, like, kind of introduced me to. Right. And I was like, oh. But then as I compare it to, I mean, I don't really like anarchy. Like, being Indigenous, I don't like the term anarchy per se. I think it has like all of these negative connotations, but basically, like, right, disbandment of hierarchy and like community care and like community focus is sort of like the tenets of anarchy for me. And so I just feel like it's almost like a political move to, and it's not even about like your romantic relationships for me, like the non-monogamy, because I think that I'm like in, like, maybe not that sexually monogamous. Like, I can, like, sleep with various people. But, like, when I really get emotionally invested, it's really hard for me to, like, have a bunch. So I don't say that I'm, like, particularly poly because I'm expanding my heart in that way right now. But I hope this is tracking. But it, it just, like, is sort of, like, I don't, like, love my romantic partner more than, like, I love you. Or I love my children or like other really close friends. And I really, something I've hated since I was young, I remember I got so mad at my best friend who I've known literally our whole lives, and she got her first boyfriend, and we were like, you know, girls kind of like, you're like, that's my, your girlfriend is like your like partner until you start dating. And she just was like gone. And I was just like, called her, like mixed her name with her boyfriend's name, and it was like all mad. And we used to have this notebook where we kept notes, where, and like we would set, put it in a locker we shared. And so like it's all like documented, like my whole journey of like getting angry at her for like abandoning me emotionally, more or less, and with time and everything. And I know you got to do that, and sometimes you want to crawl in with people, and that happens with friends too. We come in and out of spending time. So I think I've always just not really, I've never enjoyed the like pairing off away from your community and like it's us against the world, because I think that in a lot of ways, like the nuclear family and like the moves away from like community or like village style life are like, you know, A, because of capitalism, B, because they like, I don't know, they sort of trap us and they make us weaker is what I really think. So like I sort of have a really like strong political view around it, even though I want like a person that I live with and is my partner that we like, you know, because we live in this world, like pay bills, get tax breaks, like all that.
I feel like that's the plus. I mean, I think marriage, however you see it, is sacred. However, I feel like the plus for me involving the government is the tax breaks and health insurance, things like that. But I always said I'd be down to like exchanging something. For me, I would love to have like a ring. It doesn't have to be like some diamond thing, but just something tangible to show like we're in a union. I'd be down with that, because I mean, I'm divorced.
Yeah, I was never legally married.
Oh, okay.
I was like hippie married,
but like basically, because it was like over 10 years. Well, mine didn't last that long, but maybe number two, or three, or four. Who knows? Yeah, I'm down to figure it out.
Couple engagements, y'all.
Oh, God. We joked about that. So we worked on, like, a concept for, like, a reality show in Portland about being queer and Black. And we were talking about character development. And you're like, yours would be like, you'd be like, hey, where are you? And be like, I'm off traveling with my new fiance. Oh, yeah, I got engaged. Like, so I feel like I fall in love really quickly, and I'm always talking to a new partner.
Yeah.
Ugh. But yes.
Yeah. I mean, I love the sanctity. I like the connection. I want to do, I want to like have a wedding. I want to have a wedding like to myself. I don't know. Like parties about love are amazing. I love weddings. I support people getting married. Like I think they're, it's wonderful. And I also think that you can like sort of be non-monogamous or like a quote unquote relationship anarchist. I really need to find a better term. I just feel like it's corny. I think you can do that and be in a monogamous partnership and just like value your community and like hold your friends and like expand your heart out of like hierarchy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
So are you dating right now?
I am.
Ooh.
I am dating a person who is, like, cohabitatedly married.
Okay.
They are non-binary, which is nice.
Yeah.
And their wife is wonderful, and they're both white, which, like, was just kind of, like, you know, it was sort of, like, on my docket to not, per se, do that. But we live here, and, you know.
It's hard. And it's fall for who you fall for.
Yeah, and you just, like, it's really, even on the internet, it's, like, timing and, like, sort of magic if you, like, actually meet someone and you like them and, like, et cetera, et cetera. So, and, like, you know, honestly, I'm pretty fallen in love, and it's, like, really great.
It.
And it's a little challenging because I ultimately have the goal of wanting, so I'm just, like, I call LP, like, a life partner.
Yeah, so how do you navigate knowing that that most likely won't be on the table with this person?
Yeah, I mean, it just isn't going to look, our relationship just won't look like that. And so, like I said about not being particularly emotionally, like, polyamorous, I'm just finding, like, expansion in my heart. Also, like, the reality of my life right now is that I am raising two teenagers. I have a small home that I need to maintain. I have, you know, two businesses and, like, a bunch of little side hustles. And, like, I don't really have time to be incorporating them in my life right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel really fulfilled as it is. And all of my, like, worry and things that are challenging me are not present. Like, in this moment, it actually works perfectly. And it's, like, very fulfilling. And, I feel really supported. And I also have so much time for my friendships, and I find myself just wanting to expand all of my relationships and just, like, only have more room for love, which is how I think love should be when it's, you know, happening. And,
well, navigating also your relationship and, you know, being non-monogamous, how does that play into being a parent?
It's nice because when you're dealing with, like I am right now, with people who are, like, really educated around non-monogamy and have, like, done a lot of work around it, there's just never, like, my biggest worry is someone, like, coming in either wanting all my attention or trying to, like, get up in my parenting. I'm like, they have a father. Okay. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I believe in, like, raising a village, raising your kids, but pretty, like, you know. You can be, like, their friend and, like, a mentor. So I really like that that is not an option, not a problem. Putting them first is not up for, like, negotiation or even questioned in any way.
Yeah.
Are
you kind of fluid as far as introducing? Is it, like, a big thing? I mean, I know when they're younger, like, my son's age, it's different, but with your sons being teenagers.
With my sons being teenagers, because I have, before COVID, had such a, like, vibrant social life, had so many people over to my house, and so many, like, friends, and they have always had adult friends and had adults around them. That's just, like, they've lived a pretty unconventional, like, life. I take time and make sure, like, I like them, and then the other piece of it, which it's like I wait a certain amount of time, but it's not like too much time because their vote matters to me as to how this person could be like, and how much this person could be in my life. Right. Yeah. Like if there's like, nah.
You can be like, nah.
Especially because I know the people that they like and I like trust their hearts and they're like, you know, and I know and they're really like cool. And it's gone really well so far. My partner of 3 years, they were, like, best friends with, and, you know, it was,
Cool. I think, I mean, my son is 8, and so I've had, like, a 3-month rule. I mean, I don't, it's always, like, bliss and, like, the honeymoon stage in the beginning, then you kind of deal with some, like, hard shit, and then I feel like in the past, I've definitely not always followed that rule. I just was excited about what could be. through when I started the show, 2 weeks in, I met someone really great. And throughout the duration of the season, kind of shared what our relationship was looking like. And I chose to hold to that rule because I could see my son kind of getting excited about the idea of having another Black parent. And so that kind of put some pressure, in a sense, to make sure that my partner was in the space to come in and be like a family man and make sure there wasn't, you know, bachelor tendencies, which there were. Thankfully, I stuck to that because in the end it didn't work out. And it's still going to be a hard conversation, you know, and he's like, when can I meet? So because I said, hey, when you get back, we're going to have him over for dinner and you get to finally meet him. And he was so excited, and it didn't work out. And so that's the only, I mean, I can totally love and let go. I believe things have like an ebb and flow, but.
No, it's hard with the disappointment and kids.
That's
and,
the one that's hard for me is being like, oh, like I got so excited. And I knew he played video games and then I thought maybe we could play video games. And that's the part that makes me upset.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
You're already fine. I'm never fine. Even met him. Yeah.
Because it was literally, it was like 2 weeks great, fight. 2 weeks great. And I remember being like, until there's consistency in like our dynamic, then that won't be a thing. And so that has been the hardest part of this. But I am so thankful that I did not introduce them because that would have been crushing for an 8 year old.
Yeah, for an 8 year old. Even for teens, like it's something for me, even with like friends who are like, they start to make friends. I'm like, yo, if they're like, oh, you want to do this or that? Like, even my good friend, I'm like, you can't. And they'll be like, oh, I have to. I'm like, don't flake on kids. Like, you need to like hold consistently, like to what you're like, if you like offer to do something, you need to follow through, you know?
Through
and that's just like a standard for like everyone who's in their lives, you know? And so, yeah, I really try not to. There's a lot of people they haven't met. There's been a couple of times where things were, I've done a lot of like, we're going to be friends before we sleep together.
Yeah.
People. So like sometimes we'll meet them in that friend phase. And then, yeah, I worry about that a little bit. But I don't know. I think that when we have, because they're so old and like so intelligent, like having really strong conversations around it and around the different relationship styles that there are. And just like, especially since they're 14 and 18 and like into the place where they're going to start being in their own various types of relationships. It can kind of be like a learning moment around like, you know, expectations of people and they oftentimes do not meet, live up to them. And sometimes we can work through that and sometimes we can't.
And
they
that's
have
okay.
to like, yeah.
Yeah.
And almost everyone I've dated has like successfully been a friend and like is still like around. It's not just like they're gone, you know?
Yeah.
So
most of the women that I've dated were all still like cordial. I think there's maybe one woman that I'm not, it ended up not working out in like a not healthy way. But yeah, with women, I feel like I always stay friends because I love them. Just because it didn't work out romantically doesn't mean I don't still love them. And there's that boundary just, I feel like it's just like immediately known and you don't like cross it. It's nothing like, hey, it doesn't have to be some weird conversation. But with men, heterosexual men, no.
Yeah.
I feel like they just don't move in the way that the queer community does. And it's just like territorial or it's like, why are you hanging out with your ex? You must be wanting to like them or something when that's not it. So I don't I don't really stay friends.
Yeah.
With
I will say with like heteronormative, a lot of people it's been like they're like we're friends until they like get a girlfriend and then it's like. And then I'm like, I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
And then they like break up and they're like, oh, hey. And it's like
okay.
I have a new like we can be friends after 6 months. Like I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if they were involved in like your kids' lives. And it's just it can be trickier than dating as a single human for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I was more or less single for like 6 years. And like my last partnership, we didn't ever like live together or anything. So I will say when the kids were younger, because we broke up when when I was 10, they didn't ever meet anyone. They just were like, that's your friend. And then on my weeks off, I had my romantic time, you know? Like, if they met someone, I was like, this is my friend, you know? And it was never, like I said, there's a lot of adults in our life, so.
Yeah,
when they were younger, I definitely, you know. But also, like, they just, and I've read this a lot, and some of our friends with kids who are, like, polyamorous can attest to it. Like, kids are just like, what? It's normal. And, like, this generation's just like, nothing surprises us.
It is hard. It's challenging, though, when co-parenting, when the other parent is not as unconventional as you are. I think that's something that I struggle with, because my son and I, we are completely open about everything. I believe that things aren't weird or sexualized until you do as a parent. But I know it is hard to navigate living a different lifestyle when the other parent doesn't.
That's literally not going to talk about it.
Yeah. No, you don't need to. No.
Give me evidence.
No, I feel like that. And even having, sure she said. I think it's interesting for me because I did grow up in such a heteronarrative that even no matter who I'm dating, I almost hold the expectation. If I can see it going at like my life partner, I'm like, there's just a different set of expectations of, can you show up? I don't know. It's just, it's different. Whereas I compartmentalize just my dating life. I think as I've gotten older,
you like put the princess expectations. You're like, you're coming through on that horse with my carriage.
Like. Yeah. Well, I don't even need a horse and carriage. I'm like, are you going to show up when it gets hard still? Are you still going to be there? I feel like when I was younger, I feel like, well, when we first met, my dating life was very just my own. But now I feel, I mean, I'm almost 31 and I feel like I'm like a lot older just because of life experiences. And so I'm like, okay, I'm ready to like, not necessarily like settle down in that sense, but I'm ready for like my life partner.
Yeah.
So that those expectations are very high. And being not a single human, I feel like that can make it challenging, especially in Portland. Like the biggest thing that has come up is the inability to commit and just being like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. I cannot. I'm very type A. I need to know exactly what's happening. So I feel like that's been a challenge in Portland.
I think that's a hard thing to put on. Because people want it to be romantic and like, you know, that's the thing I love about my partnership right now is like, it's like still, we haven't spent that much time together, but like we just talk all the time and like just hard shit can just come up and it, they're just like, I'm literally not going anywhere. And like, I think because they're already like so committed, like it's not a scary thing. And all of those expectations are gone from this. And I, a bunch of my anxious attachment style stuff is gone. And so I'm learning, I'm like, I think this is going to be really valuable for me in actually finding an LP because I will be able to like, approach it with relaxation and not those expectations. Like I have a lot of those myself and I'm like, I don't want to have expectations. I just want to have boundaries and needs that like you're either going to meet them or you're not. And like, I'm not going to get mad if you can't. I'm just gonna be like, well, clearly you can't. But I also being like, you know, non-monogamous or perhaps I'm becoming polyamorous. I don't know. It's all a journey. And you know, we can come and go as we choose, but I am finding that I don't need one person to meet all of those needs. Like you as my friend meet a bunch of my needs. You know what I mean? And so like really being able to expand the view into that, you know. But yeah, my kids are, I'm like, my 5-year plan has no more children in my nest. Fingers crossed. And that's like really scary to not have anyone to take care of or like do stuff with all the time. So I'm trying to like relax into sort of like, I do believe, you know, I'm a spiritual person. And so I believe that like things sort of will like that we like have a blueprint that is set in stone. And then there's like choices to be made within that blueprint kind of thing. I have a bunch of experiences that have just led me to believe that. And so I do feel like, I don't know, but maybe they shift all of the time. And I just like used to think I had a person and then I'm like, lately the sad thoughts become like, maybe that person is already passed. Or maybe the boy's dad was that person and we just grew and that was all I get, you know? And
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think maybe this is very, like, not naive, but I think, well, I personally, I feel like I can find something to fall in love with every, like, any person. I feel like I can, if I look, like, hard enough, I can fall in love with them for, like, something. But I think, I don't believe in, like, there's just your one soulmate.
Oh, no.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't believe that, but I mean, like, my person to live my life with. Like, I did that super hard. Like, I was deeply enmeshed with someone. And, like, maybe I need to let go of, like, anything that looks like that. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, like, a weird journey between, like, my programming from, like, my grandma was literally an animator for Disney. Like, I watched every princess movie and, like...
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so, like, every part of my brain... I'm, like, so programmed in that way. And, like, my mom was also like, you have to be in love to have sex. And, like, even though, like, they have, like, the wildest, like, hippie circle of everyone's dated. They're good friends. They're in their 70s. They're all still good friends. Everyone's, like, been married and dated and, like, not from a normal place. But then this, like, program was still, like, and society and media is just, like, placed upon you.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I wasn't raised, like, religious or, like, not religious or Christian or, like, with any expectation of that.
Yeah.
So.
I think that the spirituality piece is huge. And I think I find myself, like, settling a little bit. There's a lot of people that, especially on their profiles, will say, like, they're whatever. And I think however you find your higher power is wonderful.
Yeah.
As long as you're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people will say X, Y, and Z, especially if that's what you want to hear. And like, you're like, have you meditated? And then I feel like I'm like micromanaging everything. Have you meditated? Have you?
Do you have a regular?
Because it's going to get hard. And that's the thing is like, no relationship is easy. So when it gets hard, are you going to be able to like ground and center yourself in a healthy way?
My big thing is I don't want to be judged, and I've met myself super deeply, and I need someone that can, like, allow me to meet myself there again and can meet themselves. I, like, need this certain, like, interpersonal sovereignty, I think is what you're saying, where, like, what center do you have? Like, because I'm not going to be your center. Like, I know there's a relationship anchor idea, but, like, what's your core? Is it whether it's a higher power or yourself or like belief in the universe? Like, yeah, you got to have that. It's hard. And sometimes that comes from people's like life experience or going through therapy with their trauma. But yeah, I'm really finding I used to date a lot younger sometimes, not a lot younger, but I'm just like, ooh, I can't, you know, because I'm 40.
You always say that. Literally since I met you, you're like, I'm 40. You haven't been 40 our entire relationship. Like, you're still not. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's my reverse, like, aging thing. I was like, you look so good.
You do. I would have never guessed. Oh, my God. Ugh, I'm dead. I remember we always had this thing where I'd be like, I just, like, I have this, like, fascination with kissing my friends.
I know.
I remember being like, I just kind of like what it gets you right now. And you'd be like, I think that was the night that I met you. And you're like, okay. And I just like panic.
I was like, totally. That's what I said.
And I panic every time. I'm like, I can't. I don't know why I do that. But I value that our friendship, like we can go however long without talking. And then it's not like a weird... It's not like a seems intentional or whatever. It's just like one of where you're just like, hey, popping in. Like it came over. I don't know when I saw you last. I don't think I had seen you.
I think since we were tan. I don't know.
I wish I was. I mean, compared to probably a lot of people, I'm like dark, but I'm like, I'm so pale.
Well, yeah.
I can't remember what I was saying.
Oh, we hadn't seen each other since the sun was out.
And then I, like, texted you the other day. I'm like, down the street, what are you doing? You're like, cleaning. I was like, I'll come sweep.
That was so embarrassing.
No. I love to clean, so I was, like, super pumped because all I do at my house is clean. Like, today or the other day, I just was like, I need to wash my walls. I just started washing my walls and the baseboards and cupboards.
Oh, my God, come back over. I don't know what goes on in my house, but
it's never like messy as you perceive it to be. You're like, it's destroyed.
And that's why my kids never meet anybody. I'm like, you can't come over.
I do that when my good friend Fred comes over, I'll be like, it's such a mess. And he'll come in and be like, there's a sock on the floor.
Your house is so clean.
But for me, I'm like, but I think I'm like actually OCD about where everything
needs to
go. Yeah,
which is why I don't want you to come to my house.
But that's like my space. I know. Like, I don't know.
I don't judge other people, except for that one person. Just because I'm allergic to cats, and if you have a cat and you don't clean your shit up and I'm like wheezing, then I can't.
No, I have a cat and
also,
I'm
I can't
like,
do like trash.
Ew. Take it out.
Or like no bed frame.
Hey, I didn't have one for a while.
No, but you have a clean home.
True.
And like carpets. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't actually care that much. I'm just being a bitch.
No. Well, I have a cat, and I think I dated someone that had two cats, and I remember their place always smelling like litter and cats. And so I remember when we moved in together, I was like, we gotta figure out like something. Mm-hmm. So now I have a cat, and I like research like the pellet system, and I have like a little plug-ins in each area of the homes that smells like. But no, I get that. I can't do cat smell or anything. Mm-hmm. Like that's gross. It's nasty.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna come back and talk to you about a funny, tragic date that you've been on. So we will be right back.
Woke up this morning, I'm feeling blessed. Calling my friends, yeah, cause I'm at my best. When I'm rolling a blunt, don't got no stress. Or when I'm out in the sun, yeah, right on my neck. Feeling like heaven sent, feeling like honey dear. Feeling like I'm fish, feeling like angel wear. Feeling like no money, feeling like smooth honey. If he wanted baby girl, he wouldn't up and leave. This that wet, this that ocean, this that super soaker. Got them knees like Meg Thee Stallion, I bend it over. I was loving you more than me. I was falling for your energy. I swear, this is our year. This is our season. Been grinding for a reason. You say that you miss it, and I know you probably do. I say come and kiss it, and you say you coming through. Ask what time you should slide. I told you about 9. You walked in, whipped it out. Now you mind after that long ride? Gotta take your time with me, baby. Go slow like that cold, honey. Keep it just fine with me, baby.
It's fine.
For your money, make sure you kind to me, baby.
Right.
Me leaving you, it won't be so funny. Don't lose your mind with me, baby. But I need me a whole dummy.
Right.
You don't wanna go wrong with it. Better have some control with it. I can go slow-mo with it. Just make sure that you long-winded. He wants this honey dip from between his honey's hips. Then I get the honey off of his lips and start counting 100 bills. Feeling like heaven sent. Feeling like honey dip. Feeling like I'm fish, feeling like angel wear, feeling like new money, feeling like smooth honey. If he wanted baby girl, he wouldn't up and leave. This that wet, this that ocean, this that super soaker. Got them knees like Meg Thee Stallion, I bend it over. I was loving you more than me. I was falling for your energy. I swear. This is our year, this is our season, been grinding for a reason.
Okay, we are back, and we are going to ask you about a tragic or funny date scenario, if you have one.
I'm just really drawing a blank. They're usually so good. And, like, the ones I've had recently were really good.
Oh,
do you just want to hear
they?
About cute ones where people had, like, really cute picnics? Like, this one girl just had the cutest picnic.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah. And she was really beautiful and it was delicious. I mean, I think we're, I don't know what's anything. Maybe something has still happened. One, I just showed up in San Francisco and it was, like, 24 hours and it was the cutest thing and, like, good
I
sex.
Love that.
I don't know. Like, I don't have.
I love that. Like,
I
the 24 hour. Like, we only have today.
Yeah, I was just, like, down there. And then that was sad because it was like, let's make, like, do you want to be long distance lovers? And they were like, no.
No.
I like you too much. I'm like, that doesn't make sense, but cool.
Love that.
lovers. I don't, like, I'm just not that awkward of a person. Like, I'll just be like, what's up? Or I'll be like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And I also can just talk to anybody. So, like, you know, I've shown up and been like, that is not what you
not
look
you.
Like on the internet.
Oh, what about our double date?
Oh, that was probably like, yeah, the most.
Okay, so
talk about
on,
spiritual.
Oh, God. So on, I was on Raya and I matched with this dude who's like, hey, I'm in Portland. Do you want to go out? I'm with my friend. Do you have a friend? Blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm down for whatever. I'm like, sure, yeah, let's totally do it. And he's like, cool, I have tickets to a comedy show. Let's just, like, hang out. And we ended up going. Oh, yeah. No.
I don't know. Sure.
Okay. So we ended up, before the comedy show, taking mushrooms, which is, like, I don't know if that was the right scenario for me. I was just, like, sweating. Just, like, everything was funny as fuck,
oh,
actually.
Oh, God, the comedian.
You knew him, didn't you?
He was like.
He's like, hey. And we're like, ah.
They're but, both white, both the dudes, and the comedian was black.
Yeah.
He's like, we all know each other, and they were like,
And he was saying really, like, funny, problematic things too. And the two dudes that we were with were the most Swedish dudes, super rich, Swedish, hair to like the middle of their back. Like, it was funny. And then afterward, we went to, I've never even been to that place before.
That weird, like, indoor golfing. It's because it's for, like, not us.
Yeah, I was just like, it was chaotic to me. I mean, I'm on mushrooms and there's people like,
mini golf.
Putt-putting, yeah. But it was cute. It was fun. And then I think we danced outside. We're like, look at the moonlight. Let's dance. And they're just like, sick.
Yeah. Oh, and then I ended up like running down that dude about like how mutual aid and like what like rich people need to do. I didn't really understand who
I'm
they were
dead.
At the time. And when he left, he was like, we need to step up our game to, like, his friend.
Aww.
I was like, that's right.
Yeah. And it ended on such a good note. And they were like, Topanga. Come to our, like, retreat. And I was like, this is going to be the beginning of a magical, like, dynamic. And then it turned off, like, super strange.
Because he started that, homie.
Yeah. He was like, oh, I want to, like, have you as my assistant. And I was like, okay, cool. Side hustle. And he was like, but wait, what if you were my assistant?
Or I was your assistant.
Or what if you hired me as your assistant? I was like, wait, what? He was like, what would you have me do? And I was like, he's like, do you know about the tantra? Like, I was like, oh my God. Wait, no, I was attracted to the other one.
Yeah, and he like didn't like me or didn't call me. I was like, oh, I had camel toe in that jumpsuit. It's fine.
You kept saying, you're like, I have camel toe. Meanwhile, I'm just like pitting out. Like, because it kept being like, give me more, give me more. And I was just like, zoned the fuck
out. We should
have
swapped weird dudes. It's fine.
That would have been a good one.
Next time we're in Topanga.
We'll hit him up, go to the retreat, hopefully not do any tantric exercises.
I mean, I will.
And I'm like, I say that, I'm like, no gay. Well, thanks so much for being on and taking the time. I know your life is busy as
I hope that made sense.
It did make sense. And I'm sure the people listening are going to have some stuff to chew on and take away. Not. Well, if people want to follow along with your journey and look at your, you have to look at all of like the plant plant design. So you do most of the installs around Portland, especially in nightlife.
Not the most of them.
Okay. Well, my favorite place you do. I'm always walking. I'm like, wow. And I tell my friends, I'm like, my friend did all of this.
Yeah. I want to do more. So,
so you have to watch the plant excursions and you make, I always forget the name.
Yeah. Like sculptural prisms. So you get rainbows in your house. Should I say?
Yeah. So where can they follow you on Instagram?
For plants and prisms, there will be more plant things and like some videos coming up, like instructional videos. I didn't mean this to be a promo at all. I just realized
No, we should plug whatever.
It's Plants Eat Rainbows is my plant one. And then my sort of like journal where I post a journal about my life. And then all my stories are mostly like political and economic-y things. Is Dance in Your Blood, and hopefully there'll be dance out there sometime again soon.
Hopefully. I've only seen you dance once and it was like the most like mind-blowing experience. I was like, yeah, losing it on the sidelines. Okay, well, thank you so much, and everyone stay tuned because I will come back with a date recap.
Keeping to myself and staying out the way. Always on my lonely cause I can't change. Seeing how they talking and I'm outraged. Taking care of me, don't need a day. Lost in the abyss. I'm a quiet but I like to talk my I'm off a shroom, I'm off a bean, I'm off a whole lot of. You could bet I'm in my head, but you could bet I'm in your. Look, these be my sons, without me they'd be done. Where the would you get all your mobile pictures from? That's why I've been living on this island with my blunt, ignoring all these, cause my energy is priceless. Look, my energy is priceless. Told my jeweler ISIS. I'm way too decisive. Don't catch that ego-itis. When I'm up in London, everybody say your highness. Not because I'm royal, but because I be the highest. Sipping champagne, I do my thing. Born for this like Matt Dane. Red with blue like Chastain. People be so phony, that's why I be on my lonely. People be so phony, that's why I be on my lonely. I've been living on an island too.
Okay, everybody. So, as you know, when I started the show, I was very single, very available. And then, literally by the second episode, I had met someone on Hinge, which was such a fun. It was such a fun thing. I didn't expect to get booed up while being on the show. But as some things go in life, it did not work out. I think a big proponent for me in that dynamic was not knowing how my trauma responses would come up in certain things. And I think that some people just, I don't know, I just don't know if everyone has the space to understand or the life experiences to understand what anxiety and panic attacks look like. And I think that that's totally okay. But if your mental health can't be met with grace, then it's not the right dynamic for you. And that's okay. Having mental health struggles isn't something that makes you hard to love. And I hope that you all understand that. But it is a new year. And who knows? New year, new love, new relationships. I am open to whatever the universe is going to bring me this year. So I hope that with saying all that and seeing the journey, and as I've talked about my relationship over the season, that you guys just won't be scared to let things go if they're not serving you. And I think that that was something I should have honed into more during the relationship, is if something's not sitting right with me, it's okay to leave. And I think that I stayed a little bit longer than I should have, just because I was trying to make sense of the things that were going on. And I just wanted a person. I wanted my person. And I probably tried to force that. So don't do that. Don't do that. Have a blast with people. When it ends, it ends. And it doesn't always have to be a sad thing. There's another dynamic, another person out there that's just going to care for you for however you can show up in life. Keep doing the work, though. And I'm excited to hear about what you guys are doing, especially in the next season. Keep sending me messages about your relationships and your funny dates. I love reading them. And that's all I have for you. Okay, guys, that is the end of the episode. I can't believe that is the wrap for season one. Again, this has been so much fun. You guys are literally the best. It's just been a crazy ride. And if you want to continue with like seeing what I'm doing, especially up until season two starts, you can go to my Instagram at it's at Chloe Alexandra XO. And a big thank you to The Numbers FM for just giving me this platform and space. And I cannot wait to see you guys on season two.